ask you, do you know how it feels this morning? Amen. I can tell you I know how it feels. Amen. I'm telling you, I like it. Amen. I feel just a little bit running over this morning. I don't know about you. I think we get so consumed in this old world, we miss out a lot of how good it is. Everybody in here's got problems. But I can tell you, I know how it feels, that I can lay my head on my pillow every night and know that the Lord's in control, and that no matter what takes place, I know that God makes no mistakes. Well, preacher, what if this? What if what? There's nothing too big for my God. And I hope you know this morning. Boy, it'd just be good to go everywhere we go with a good smile on our face. Well, preacher, I don't feel like smiling. I don't either sometimes. And a lot of times I don't smile, but that don't change the fact I'm saved. On my way to heaven, my sins are forgiven. I can't go to hell if I even thought I wanted to. Amen. And I'm just excited about being saved this morning. I hope you know the Lord. That's our goal this morning. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to perform in front of you. We're here to tell you the bare bones truth, that the Lord loves you. He died for you. And if you don't trust Him as your Savior, you're going to know how it's going to feel to go to hell. Hey, I'm glad this morning I know, according to the book of John, there's no condemnation upon me. I don't have the wrath of God upon me. But if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, I can tell you, you don't know exactly how it's going to feel. I know. Boy, I still remember them guys I used to work around, how they used to joke and laugh about hell. Boy, we're going to have a party down in hell. It's going to be great. They don't have a clue what hell's going to be like this morning. Hell, the Bible tells us, is a place where the fire is not quenched, nor the worm dieth not. And if that ain't bad enough, the worst part of hell is you're going to be eternally separated from a God that loves you, that sent His only begotten Son, died for you. And so, boy, I'm glad I know how it feels this morning to know that I'm saved. Ain't got a doubt about it this morning. I hope you know that yourself this morning. And what a Savior we serve this morning. Take your Bibles this morning, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 this morning. One of my favorite places to run to. God showed me something this week. I've already shared it with a couple of the men. They're going to already know what I'm preaching. I usually don't say much about what I'm going to preach, but then sometimes God changes it. But I want to look at something this morning. I hope it'll be a good encouragement, because I believe we need some encouraging things in our day. It's truth. I'm not one of these motivated type people. I'm not, me and Russell are realists. Our wife calls us pessimists, but I'm a realist. Why build yourself up if it ain't going to be true? Positive thinking does no good. You can have all the positive thoughts you want to have, but it don't change nothing, man. Real's real. I don't like to set myself up for a fall. You know, I take it as it is, you know, and I know God's able and all that. But listen, I try to be just as real this morning. And I know this morning, people are tired. People get weary. I know our world. Anybody here believe our world's gone completely batty? How many of us, I'm just going to keep my hand up because I agree with all this. How many of us believe that this world is just so ungodly this morning? How many of you just get frustrated with people from time to time? How many of you get frustrated with yourself from time to time? I ain't looking. I'm just got my hand up. I'm just saying this morning, we live in there's things happening today that people say, well, if we only knew, I don't want to know no more. It's bad enough. What I do know bothers me. If I did know everything that was going on, I'd be depressed all the time if that's what I pondered on. I watch the news and all that stuff too, and sometimes think, why do you do that? There's nothing good. It's always depressing. There's always a problem. There's always something. Come over here to something that's good. Amen. And so we try to dive back in over there on that side of things. But God showed it to me. It's nothing new. You're going to think, well, what's so great about this? I think it's great. It's been a help to me these last few days that I've been chewing on it and working on it. We're going to look at something this morning that I hope it'll be a great encouragement to it. Let's stand together. Here in Genesis chapter 6, we see the great story of Noah and that ark. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. Genesis chapter 6, look with me in verse number 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. Thank the Lord for the Bible this morning. And the Bible says in verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. Thank God for verse 8. But I mean, we just heard God look upon man, and look, I look upon man not with the way God does, but it bothers me how men are. It bothers me to watch how people live today. It bothers me to see young people, children growing up in homes like they're having to grow up in and think about the future that probably lays ahead for them and the trail that mom and daddy's leading them down. It bothers me, but God sees the depths of the hearts of men. Here we see how sin had got so bad upon the earth. And God said it repented him that he even made man. And he says, I will destroy. Can I say this morning that God again is going to destroy this earth? It won't be by the flood, but it will be by the fire. But thank God for verse 8, mercy, grace. But Noah found grace. Where did he find it? The only place you'll ever find it. In the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. That's the key to this whole thing. I can teach you to run from scripture to scripture. I can teach you knowledge that you can retain in your mind. But unless you're walking with God, you ain't got much. And Noah walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, let me back up there. What was the problem? Man, flesh. You know what the problem today is? The problem ain't the White House. The problem ain't our government. The problem ain't taxes. The problem ain't the IRS. The problem is man and the sin of man. And God said, verse 13, unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within, and without with pitch. Verse 15, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it is 50 cubits, and the height of it is 30 cubits. Verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. I remember what God showed me out of that verse. Boy, I'm telling you, how many levels was there in that ark? Thank God for the Holy Trinity, amen. Thank God for God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It takes them all, amen. Three stories there. Verse 17, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood. Who brought it? It wasn't the devil that brought it. It wasn't wickedness that brought it. God, as we study through the book of Revelations on that tribulation, God is the one that's going to send that tribulation. God is the one here that's going to... Well, we serve a God of love. Yeah, we sure do. And that's verse 8. But Noah, that's the love of God. And thank God for John 3:16. That's the love of God. But the fact still remains that there's a destruction coming. God will destroy this earth. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're doomed, friend. You're doomed. You're doomed. You're not going to go to purgatory. You're not going to buy yourself out of it. You're not going to ride on somebody else's coattail. You're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever, just like that rich man. But praise the Lord this morning. I know that God has made an ark. Hallelujah. And there's a door. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door, John chapter 10. Just as there's one way into that ark, there's one way into heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, verse 17, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Boy, aren't you glad God's pretty plain? Well, preacher, I don't like that King James Bible. I don't understand it. God says you're going to die. How plain do you need to be this morning? That's about as plain as she can get. Verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shalt come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten. Thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Did you see that? Verse 22. Thus did Noah. How? According to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. And this morning, I want to preach a little bit this morning on the thought of Noah just kept building. Noah just kept building. Let's pray and I'll let you be seated. Lord, I thank you, Lord, again for the precious promises, the truths of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs. Thank you, Lord, how you, the Holy Spirit, has moved in our hearts already today through the Word and through song. God, thank you, Lord, this morning, God, that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can gather together. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would encourage hearts, encourage the saints this morning. God, they might be one here this morning, God, that's lost, that's undone. God, they don't know you like I know you, Lord. And God, they've never seen themselves lost and never seen themselves going to die and go to that awful place called hell. But God, just as Noah found grace, Lord, I know this morning, God, if the Holy Ghost would lead them, God, if you would speak to their hearts and they would obey, God, they could find grace this morning in the eyes of the Savior. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to hearts as only you can. God, I don't want to sell them nothing. God, I don't want them to follow me. But God, I pray this morning, as Paul said, as I follow Christ, I pray this morning that they'll follow you. And Lord, I pray again, God, that you'd help us, God, just to see the truth of this thought this morning. And we'll praise you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, we're going to look this morning on that thought of Noah kept building. And this morning, I want to encourage you and I this morning, and I promise you this morning, this message is for me more than anybody in this room. I promise you that. God's already preached this thing to me over and over in my heart and still preaching it to me this morning on the fact that we this morning need to understand that you and I need to do just like Noah did and continue just building upon the ark. Amen. We're not building a kingdom this morning. That's not our job. God's going to put a kingdom here one day. This morning, we're not building salvation. Paul said there's only one foundation that can be laid, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did tell us, according to what we looked at Wednesday night about that judgment scene, that you and I need to take heed of how we build upon that foundation that's already laid. See, again, there's only one way to heaven. Just like for Noah, there was only one way to get out of the judgment of God, and that was through that ark. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I've preached that several times. I like what the Bible talks, how that thing was pitched within and without. And thank God this morning there's safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning there's assurance in knowing that Jesus Christ is all I need this morning. Well, preacher, how do you know? I just know. How did Noah know? He didn't know. He just knew that God told him something. And he obeyed. That's what the Bible tells us there, verse 22. And again, this morning, I look around. I see so many churches today. I see so many people that used to do something for the Lord that's got weary this morning. They get tired. They get frustrated. Again, man, I'm telling you, it's so easy this morning to get frustrated and aggravated with things of the day. I get frustrated with preachers a lot of time. I get frustrated with churches a lot of time. I get frustrated with me all the time. I get aggravated how people don't do or do or however you want to call it this morning. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to get our eyes back at what God says here about Noah this morning and not let our surroundings. Have you ever looked at a thermostat? This morning there's a thermostat on that wall. There's a thermostat on that wall. Most of you don't know it, but there's a thermostat on the backside of that wall. That right now it's controlling our surroundings. Most of us this morning are not thermostats. We are more like a thermometer. Why? Because a thermometer is only controlled, is controlled by its surroundings, where a thermostat controls its surroundings. See what I'm saying this morning? So many of us let so many things in this world get us down, get us to quit, get us to throw our heads up and quit reading our Bibles and quit praying, quit being faithful, quit witnessing and all these things. And we can have excuses, excuses, excuses. And Miss Teresa Barnett used to sing that song, excuses, excuses. We hear them every day. You can have every excuse you got. I ain't going back to that church. The preacher didn't shake my hand. My pastor didn't shake my hand this morning either. He's 40 miles away. I ain't going to shake none of your hands when you leave because I'm going to be down here having a meeting with our campers. Well, I ain't going back to that church. They sing too loud. They don't sing loud enough. That preacher's mean. Whatever.
My pastor talked about a guy one time. He was knocking on the door. He was knocking doors one Saturday, and he was knocking on the door, and the guy came to the door. He told him who he was, and the guy says, "I got milk in the refrigerator," and slammed the door. Now, you just got to know my pastor. He's from Missouri. That's a lot of his problems. But he looked, you know, I can just picture my pastor standing there, and he knocked on that door. That guy come back to the door. He said, my pastor says, "What did you say?" He says, "One excuse is as good as another. You can lie to me, you can lie to everybody, you can lie to yourself. But God knows truth." And I know, again, this morning, it's so easy to get frustrated. I see it happening in our church a lot. A lot of times the brethren get frustrated with one another. "Can you believe old so-and-so?" And you'll chew on that and chew on it and get frustrated and aggravated. I'll never forget what Obed Mesau said. He says, "You don't let the faithless keep you from being faithful." I don't serve God on what you're doing. I had a guy one time that came to here. He came several Sundays, and he said, he come to me and says, "Preacher, we're going to have to leave." I was like, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "Well, I don't think enough people says amen in your church." And I looked at him just as serious as I could look at him. I said, "Sir, I have never heard you say amen." He liked shouting, but he didn't shout. I've heard people say, "Well, you ain't got enough activities, or I don't get to do nothing." Friend, if you say that, you've never come talk to me. There's a lot of things that I do that I'd like to give somebody else so I can go do something else. But I'm saying it's so easy to see something and let whatever that something is get inside of your crawl like a rock in your shoe. Don't you just hate it? Man, you get a little pebble in your shoe, and don't that just aggravate the snot out of you? I mean, you pull that thing, you got to find a place, take your shoe off, and you get that shoe, and you shake it, and that thing ain't no bigger than a BB. But that thing bothered you. You couldn't go like you wanted to go. You couldn't function like you wanted to function. All because that little something was in your shoe. And a lot of times we get frustrated and aggravated at something at the church or at the house or at work or whatever it is. And we let that little bit of something get in our crawl and we can't get past it. But this morning God showed me something this week about Noah on that same thought, and I want to share it with you this morning. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, we won't take time to run there because the time's running out on us this morning, but Galatians chapter 6, we know this verses 9 through 18. They're great verses. If you got time this afternoon, go look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. It tells us not to grow weary in well-doing. God says you can be serving the Lord, you can be reading your Bible, you can be praying, you can be faithful, and God says don't get weary in well-doing. And buddy, I've seen a lot of people hit it with a zeal and they burn out. Listen, I've been told before, "Preacher, you're going to burn out." No, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Listen, I get tired. You get tired. I get frustrated. You get frustrated. But sometimes, even the disciples, remember the Lord, and I know it's vacation and time, people, and listen, we've had a vacation. We'll probably take another vacation one day, whatever, But even the Lord knew the disciples were tired, and he took them away. He says, "You got to get away." And I know this morning you got to get away sometimes. And sometimes we need to just back up. You don't quit, though. But you back up a little bit, and you get a refreshing breeze, and you hit it again. And that's what God showed me. Again, don't grow weary, Paul talks about there in Galatians chapter 6. Look with me, I do want to show you this. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith this morning about Noah here. I want you to see what God said about this great man of Noah. Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to give you about four things and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 says, "By faith." How do you do anything for God? It's got to be by faith. And we spent several Sundays looking at what faith was. By faith, Noah, notice, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is, by faith. So we see what took place. We read here in Genesis a little portion of what took place here. And again, I want you to put that thought in your mind. Just keep building. I want to give you some things this morning real quickly that God showed me this morning about this man Noah and what God used through Noah to do. The first thing, again, aggravation, complications, just all kinds of frustrations. And I'll think about what Noah dealt with. God looked upon this earth and he saw the condition of man and where man had got to, and to the place that God in himself said it repented him that he even made him. But then he looked at Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God went to Noah and said, Noah, I'm getting ready to destroy the whole earth. I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to kill every man. I'm going to kill every woman. I'm going to kill every girl and boy. I'm going to kill every animal on the land and in the sea. I'm going to destroy them all. But Noah, I want you to do something. I want you to build an ark. And I'm going to tell you how to build it, Noah. And you just do what I've told you to do. The first thing that I think about when it comes to Noah and what could have frustrated Noah is, first of all, knowing the wrath of God. Can you imagine the weight that must have been on Noah? Here, Noah living his life, Noah just doing the best he could. God came to Noah and said, look, Noah, what a relationship, first of all. But he came to Noah, because the Bible says that Noah walked with God. He came to Noah and says, can you imagine hearing that? We've all got those phone calls. We've all sat there and got news that just broke our heart. But can you imagine as a man, and that's all Noah was a man just like you are, human, flesh, blood. Noah heard from God that God was getting ready to destroy. Now some of us would think, whoo, thank God he's getting rid of that neighbor. I didn't like that one anyway. No, I don't think Noah was that way. I believe, can you imagine the weight that must have fell upon Noah as he thought about God getting ready to destroy everything that he saw? Can you imagine as Noah left the house in the morning to go down to the gas station to get a cup of coffee, which he didn't do that, but as he walked around the cities, he walked around and talked to people, he knew inside of him that God said, I want to destroy them. He looked at the children as they run around and played. He looked at mamas and daddies as they worked and labored and provided. He looked at the animals that God had made, and in his heart he knew that God said, I'm going to destroy them. Now let me ask you something this morning. Don't you think that would be pretty oppressive? Don't you think for a man that could be depressing? And I'm afraid sometimes you and I, we hear of what God's going to do, and it gets us to the place, and I do it, I've done it before, and sometimes you just want to grab and see. Don't you know that God's coming back? Don't it just frustrate you when your family, you love them to death, and you know the Lord's going to come? And you know if they don't get saved, they're going to go to an awful place called hell. Don't that sometimes just get overwhelming? Don't you think Noah sometimes probably just wanted to go run and hide? Don't you think it got so big that it just overwhelmed him? The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. See, this morning, the wrath that was coming didn't take the place of Noah to the place that he was ineffective. But what it did do is exactly what I just read. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What did Noah do? He didn't go running,
run on a rock and say, oh no, what are we going to do? He just started building a boat. This morning he just kept on a building. Second of all, not only do the wrath of God a lot of times get people frustrated and aggravated and quit, but the second thing I thought about with Noah is just the job at hand. Can you imagine Noah? Now, you believe what you want to believe. I believe what the Bible says. God just loaded him up and said, I'm getting ready to destroy. He says, I'm going to let this place flood. That didn't ring many bells with Noah because nobody had ever seen a flood. The Bible talks how God watered the earth through a mist. And God says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to break up the wells, and it's going to flood this place. And Noah's, God, you want me to build a what? An ark? What's an ark? See, a lot of times people get frustrated with the job that's at hand. And the first thing I think about is, first of all, is how many of us, maybe like Noah did. I know Moses did this. Remember when Moses was out there at the burning bush? God says, Moses, I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh. Not me, God. I got this problem. I can't talk real good. I can't do it. See, I believe one of the things that could have frustrated and gotten Noah to the place that he was no good is just the fact of his incapability. And now listen, I'm not looking at nobody. I've been accused. Are you looking at me? I look at a lot of people. Most of the time I'm looking over your head, to be honest with you. I ain't looking at nobody. A lot of times we hear and God will say something and prick our heart, and the first thing we run to is, I can't do that. Come on. Don't you think Noah, when God says, Noah, you're going to build an ark. And it's, what importance to it? Hebrews chapter 11, it said, for the saving of his family. This morning, daddies, what would you do to save your family? And God just loaded Noah down with the news that he was getting ready to destroy everything, and the only way out is through an ark. And Noah, you got to build it. But God, I can't do that. I don't know how to build an ark. I can't. See, a lot of times this morning, people get frustrated and aggravated and never really do anything simply because they say, I can't. Well, guess what I learned a long time ago? I was on my face before God at Friendship Baptist Church. I said, God, I can't. And he said, that's right, but I will. Amen. You get to that place, that's a good place. When you realize you can't, and he will, that's a good place. So I believe the job at hand, first of all, just in the thoughts of his inability to perform what he thought needed to be done. And this morning, look at you. A lot of you think, well, I can't teach a class. Somebody's got to teach. Somebody's got to sing. Somebody's got to work. Somebody's got to do. Is your selfishness of your inabilities keeping you from doing something? You know what Noah did? He shucked those things of what he thought he couldn't do and did it anyway. Hey, I mess up a lot, but God never messes up. So I'm just saying this morning, maybe you need to get beyond your inabilities. And the second thing I think is pretty overwhelming is just the fact of what God called Noah to do, to build an ark. Let me find it real quickly. Verse 15, it wasn't no little John boat. It wasn't a little raft. This thing was huge. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits and the height of it 30 cubits. And people argue what a cubit is and what I've come to about. It's somewhere around the length of it was probably around 450 feet, and it's about 75 feet wide and 40 feet high there about. Three stories, one big door in the side, and a window in the top. Now, I'm not a carpenter. I didn't play one on TV, and I didn't sleep in a Motel 6 last night. So I'm not a carpenter. I can build things. I'm not a welder either, but I can make stuff stick together. It looked like a chicken run across there, but I can do it. Can you imagine? Hey, Noah, I want you to take some popsicle sticks and build me a little
little raft. No, I want you to go get all them gopher trees over there, and I want you to cut them down, and I want you to make you some lumber, and I want you to build this thing that I'm going to tell you how to build. That's pretty overwhelming just at the job that's at hand. Don't you? Can you imagine? Look, I built our house. It took me a year of sweat, blood, and tears. Worked third shift. I'd come home and work from the time I got home to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd sleep 4 hours. I'd get up in that evening, put my clothes back on, go back up to the house, work in time until it was time to get ready to go to work on third shift and do it all week long. Still, I'm not patting me on the back. I'm just saying I know these things can be done. People say, well, you can't do that. Hey, I know it can be done. Hey, I run a bus route every Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I preach nursing homes twice in a month. I'm just saying, I was pretty busy. And there's many a day I'd get up there at that house and I'd just about sit there in tears thinking, oh God, this thing ain't ever going to get done. We started putting the hardwood floors down in our living room, whatever that room's called. And I thought, I was excited, man. This is going to be beautiful. And we got started that morning. And we started where I'd never laid any hardwood floor before. And I got laying that stuff in there. And I worked till about 1 o'clock, and we got about that far across my floor. And I was thinking, I ain't ever going to get done. I could have quit. But you know what I did? I went to bed. I got back up that afternoon, laid a little bit more that afternoon, went to work, got up there the next morning, laid a little bit more, went to bed. And eventually, I looked across there and I thought, man, that's beautiful. It's done. But Noah was given a task that was just remarkable in the minds of a man given a... Look, if you was to call up to... Where's the shipyards at in Virginia? What's that place? Newport up there? Hey, I want you to build me a boat. They would have herds of men and take days upon days, if not weeks upon weeks, if not years, to put you a boat together that would equal that boat. But God chose Noah. See, a lot of times I'm afraid we look at the job that's at hand and we think about, boy, we can't look. See, we've been given a job too. The Bible tells us over in Matthew chapter 28 that we've been given that great commission to go into all the earth, the world, and preach that gospel. And a lot of times we look and we think, man, look at all these people. And I do that, but I ride around and think, look at all these people. I went to Peru and I stood in, what was that place we went to? Gomorrah, and I was blown away. I'd never seen nothing like that. I stood there with a case of Bibles in my hand, and I looked down that street just as far as my eye would let me look at a sea of people. I handed every Bible I had in my case within just a few minutes. See, a lot of times we look at that the greatness of this job and think, what's the use? There's no way. You know how Noah built the ark? One board at a time. And we've got to get back to the place that we quit looking at the outwardness of the job and just take it one soul at a time. Can you imagine Noah? Hey, honey, God says I'm going to build an ark. Well, that's fellas. Most of us. We like to build stuff or attempt to build stuff. He runs over there to the shed and breaks out the DeWalt tools. Runs down to Lowe's. I got to have one of these. I'm going to build an ark. God commanded Noah to build a boat. He didn't have no DeWalt tools. He didn't have a chainsaw. He didn't have a crane. You know what he did have? A commandment of God, the promises of God, and the will of God. Most of us this morning look at the job and think, well, we got to have this and we got to have that, and boy, we got to do it this way and we got to do it over here. We need to realize that all we've got to do is just like Noah did. and just be faithful where God's put you to be faithful. And one board at a time, one nail at a time, one day at a time, faithfully just keep building the ark. So I see that, you know, I think he could have got frustrated how big this job could be, but Noah just kept on building. The third thing, and I think this is where a lot of times we get, and that's where I'm at a lot of times, just the conditions. Can you imagine the conditions of Noah's day? The first thing I believe that Noah had to deal with was all the tongue waggers. Now look, fellas, I've drove by places before because I'm a very inquisitive person. My wife still laughs at me and my son because we ride up. I still don't understand why they did it. It's not my. Some of you probably know. I think I got an idea. You ride up 70 past Freightliner up there, and where they widened the road out, that guy's pasture, they put a fence, a gap, and then a fence. And I look at that and I think, why'd they do that? That's crazy. Now, I think I know why they did that, but I look at that and think, well, that's crazy. Why'd they do that? I drive to our house in Harmony over there at the great city of Turkeyfoot. Oh, yeah. Yes, there is such a place, Turkeyfoot. It's got a grocery store. Turkeyfoot. I drive by there, and my wife, she knows exactly. Every time I drive by there, I'm looking. They cleared out about a, I don't know, 5-acre parcel of land there, cut every tree down except one. And then right in the middle of that pile of debris of cut up wood stands a big old pine tree. And I look at that and I think, why? Why did they not cut that tree? So I look at stuff. I look at people building stuff and think, wonder what they're building. You drive by, you think, wonder what they're building. Now, Noah, here's Noah out in the backyard. Saturday morning, he gets out of bed. All right, guys, it's time to start this project. We're going to build an ark. He's out there hammering and a sawing and a cutting and having a good time in the Lord, singing all the good songs of glory. And here's his neighbor. Noah, what are you doing over there? Adding on to the house? No, I ain't adding on to the house. I'm building an ark. You're building a what? An ark. What's an ark? It's a big boat. Why? God says he's going to send a flood. You're crazy, man. You know, a lot of people look at you and I if you're doing anything for the Lord. You going to do what Saturday morning? You going to go work a bus route? Why, man? Wouldn't you rather go to the lake with us? No, I'd rather go tell these youngins about Jesus because the Lord's coming. They need to be saved. Sunday morning, you going where? I'm going to church. You going to go all the way down there just for church? Man, won't you stay at home? You can watch church on TV. See, Noah had to deal with the attitudes of that day. And I'm sure he got tired somewhere around 100 and some days to build that boat. Every day people laughing at him, making fun of him and his family. Look at old crazy Noah out there. Look at that thing he's built. What in the world? How in the world is he going to do anything in that thing? He ain't even got a four-wheel drive truck. He can't even get it to the lake. But you know what Noah did? He just kept building. And listen, this world don't understand why we do what we do. They ain't got a clue why we read our Bibles and why we pray and why we try to dress right, live right, talk to people, hand out tracts, come to church. They don't understand that, but you know what? Just keep on building. So I see the conditions. They thought he was crazy. The second thing he dealt with was just the condition of how man was. God says that their imaginations was on evil all the time. They were wicked and vile and ungodly. And you think it's bad today? You think what we're seeing is anything? We ain't seen nothing. But Noah was dealing with a bunch of people like I can't even imagine being around. You know what Noah did? He just kept on preaching. He kept on building. So this morning, just keep on building. Fourthly, this morning, I'm just about done. And I think this is where it gets a lot of people. Results. A lot of people, you dive into something looking for instant gratification. Noah started a project that he really didn't understand, I don't think, what he was doing, but God gave him everything he needed to do it. Gave him a blueprint, told him how to do it, and he did it. He began building this massive ark. Not only did he build that ark, but he was a preacher, the Bible says. Preacher of righteousness is what it says. And I'm afraid a lot of times we get frustrated, or I do. We get aggravated. Maybe you don't, but I do. Because maybe we don't see all the results that I think I ought to be seeing. See, the problem is what I just said. I don't see the results that I think that I ought to be seeing. Noah spent almost 120 years thereabouts building a tremendous ark, preaching every day, I believe. There's a flood coming, fellas. There's a flood coming, fellas. Hey, get ready. The flood's coming. And God tells us that only 8 were saved. Don't you know many times Noah would come to the house, Brother David, preached his heart out, gave himself everything he had to the work, and nobody. Hey, guys, come to church with me. Oh, I'll be there. We know how that goes. And they don't show up. 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 And a lot of times we think, what's the use? What's the use? Come on. You know what Noah did? He just kept on building. He just kept on building. And he just kept on building. So maybe we need to quit looking at what we think and just realize that God. Go back over to Genesis and I'm done. Verse number 22 ought to be where we're at. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. This morning, all you're accountable for is what God's commanded us to do. I can't make somebody get saved. I can't make people get faithful. I can't make people read their Bibles. I can't make people live right. I can't do it. Neither can you. So what do? You just keep building and just keep building and just keep building. We must understand that Noah simply did what he was supposed to do. My question this morning is, will you do what you're supposed to do? Don't get frustrated. When you get frustrated, think about Noah. Just keep building. There's a payday someday. The rest of that story comes pretty quick. Noah finally got that ark built. Hey, Noah, I want you to go get some animals. You want me what, God? First, you want me to build this big old boat. Now you want me to go what? God, I hate dogs. They bite. God, I really hate snakes. You want the skunk too? God, how am I going to feed all these things? You know what Noah did? Exactly what God told him to do. And they marched up in that boat. Now, I know we teach our children 2 by 2. That's not true. There's an unclean and clean. What a beautiful picture how God provides himself things there. It's just amazing. I love the study that part of how. Because when Noah got off the ark, what did he do? He did sacrifices. He had those animals on that boat that he was going to use for sacrificial work. God already made the plan. But then there came the day, and I love this, and I'm done. I just want to share it with you. There was a voice from heaven. Actually, it was a voice from inside the ark. Noah, come on. He didn't tell Noah to get in. He told Noah to come in. What's the difference? If he told him to get in, that means God was on the outside. But no, God said, come in. So God must have been on the inside. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine? Noah, his wife, his children were outnumbered greatly by a bunch of animals. And God shut the door. Can you imagine when that door shut? One of these days, the door's going to shut. The Lord's coming. One of these days, the door's going to shut. I hope you're in the ark. I hope you're in Jesus. But then something really weird happened. Nothing. That's really weird, isn't it? God put Noah in the ark, shut the door, and they sat there. But then there came a day when something happened that nobody ever saw before. This stuff started falling out of the sky. This stuff started running up out of the ground. And in just a matter of moments, the world was flooded. I remember back in physics class, we actually talked about this. How they took the highest point of the earth and figured out at what rate water must fall to get water to that height. And it was just astronomical. People talk about how the people around the ark must have come running by and beat on the door. Let me in, let me in. No, there wasn't time for that. They were gone. And I want to tell you this morning, when the Lord comes back, you ain't going to have time to say, I wish I would have, could have. You better be ready. But child of God, this morning, Noah just kept on building. When you get frustrated, when you get aggravated, when you want to throw your hands up and quit, just remember, Noah just kept on building. I want to encourage us to just keep on building. Let's stand together this morning.